The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
The following podcast could be brought to you by anyone, but it's brought to you by our absolute favorite airport in Southern California.
That's right. It's the only airport that throws parties on the wing, the San Bernardino International Airport.
They're now celebrating over 2 years of commercial flights to areas in California and beyond.
That's right. It's an easy check-in process. We experienced it. It was flawless. And of course, the added bonus is that it's just $5 a day for parking.
So thank you, San Bernardino International Airport, for sponsoring this upcoming episode of Klein Alley Show.
This is the world famous K-Rock.
Let's go!
Get in your good mood on a Tuesday morning. It's a Game 4 World Series Tuesday here. K-Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. Will the Dodgers sweep? Will we get all them fireworks back in the skies of Southern California later today? And will we light your neighbor's couch on fire? All good questions that will only be answered later on today. If you need us, we're here for the live interaction at 800-520-1067 this hour. Lots to get to on the show, including Johnny's been out there churro chasing. He thinks it is his civic duty to inform everyone as to where the greatest churros are in Southern California. He believes it is the greatest dessert of all the desserts.
And a lot of people have been giving churro recommendations to Johnny, which he's finally getting around to.
Yeah, it took him, just like Omar said it would, it took him his sweet-ass time to get out there and start really churro chasing. He was like the slowest. Also, his car kept breaking down, which was part of the problem as well.
It's hard to churro chase when you don't have a working vehicle.
Yeah, like if you think of, like, storm chasers have those really cool cars that they, like, customize. And they're got satellite dishes all over them and stuff. And then Johnny's car is just every day there's a new problem with it. We'll get into this a little bit later in the hour and we'll post some video. But already I got a problem with this first churro chase based on just the review alone.
Churro. Back at it again with another churro chases video in Paramount at Orchateria. Oh, yeah.
Really hot.
It's a really stiff and very light on the sugar, which I really like. 5 out of 5.
Very quick.
Wow,
like
what a short.
Yeah, they're very quick. Like, there's no...
It's all about the chase, right?
Right, these good reviewers, like, it almost feels like you ate it even if you didn't eat it, because they describe the texture and the mouthfeel and all that stuff.
Well, especially the visuals, too, of, like, crunching the churro, and you can hear it and everything.
Johnny goes, hot, 5 out of 5. And also, I think he gives out a lot of 5 out of 5s, also.
But
which
I do
don't
like...
mean much.
No, they don't. But I also don't hate the idea of finding Johnny a churro-mobile.
If we could do it.
That he can churro chase effectively.
That would be great. Let's go ahead and make that happen.
Especially if you can hit him this fast.
So we'll get into some churro chasing later this hour. Also, Jake the Nerd was at the bar last night watching the Dodgers and came across quite a few people there wearing Dodgers jerseys. But do they know anything about the team on their shirt? That'll be coming up later this hour as well. So lots of chances for you to interact with us. 800-520-1067, the numbers. You can also slide in the DMs at Klein Alley Show. And we kick off the hour right now with some Gautier on the world famous K-R-O-Q. K-Rock. Klein Alley Show. So Halloween is in 2 days, which if you're a kid, it's like the greatest night of the year. I think it is the best. I mean, Christmas is cool, but I think for some reason the concept of walking around getting candy.
And also being whoever you want to be.
Right. I don't know if there's anything better than that. The build up to it, the excitement of the day of. I vividly remember waking up the morning of Halloween and being like, oh, it's finally here.
Yeah.
This is the good stuff. And I think that for some reason, there's been a real shift in society now where, like, growing up, I vividly remember you'd go to any house and you'd get one piece of candy. Now, sometimes if you're lucky, you'd get a big bar. Every once in a while, you'd hit a house and they'd have the big bars.
Even if it was the little ones, you would only take one? I thought if it was the little ones, you get like two.
Felt like it was only...
Some people didn't let you take them. They would hand them out and, you know, put them in your little bucket.
And now I think there is...
Well, because some people take too long to choose, Omar.
Right. It's created complete...
You can't just be like, huh, let me see what you're working with here.
Right, but of course, if you're a kid, like, but if you're a kid and you want to see what's going on, maybe you don't like, you know, Skittles, and instead you want Sour Patch Kids or something like that. So now, I think that there's no rhyme or reason. Everyone's just playing by their own rules.
Well, and I've gone to a few Halloween things, like at... you know, museum or different ones that are having like Halloween nights, and all of them are totally scared. They've gone full gummy, no chocolate, just gummy things and sour things, and like then the occasional lollipop. I did like a whole night. I came home with like one Reese's and like two Kit Kats.
Well, you're an adult.
Everything
probably.
Else was, yeah, I know, but my
this
kid is the one who's dressed up and getting snacks, and he's getting. And I think he even got apple slices at one point.
Oh, it's terrible.
And I'm like, you guys, what are we doing here? If you're going to have a Halloween thing, like as an establishment, as an organization or a company, have good candy.
But I think the real issue for kids now is going door to door and you don't know what to expect because the rule from one house to the next house is completely different. Where someone goes, grab a handful. And then the next person goes, grab two. And they always say, they don't even say... trick or treat, they say how many. This is like the thing now. They just go, how many?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. A lot of how many's. Or sometimes they won't even ask. They'll just kind of try to double fist it. Now, later in the night, all right, you've made it through like the rush. You're like, all right, fine, whatever. I don't want this floating around. I'm going to get fat eating this all. But early in the night, you start going, I don't want to be in the situation I was in a few years ago where I had to run out in the middle and go buy candy in the middle because I had nothing.
Well, and for you, though, you don't want to... You want to pick out things that you know you like or that you know other people would like, but not too many things that you would like because if there's any left over, then you will be the one eating it. You also have to time this out properly because I have not bought any. The only Halloween candy I bought a couple days ago was candy corn, and everybody in my house was pissed about it, including my kid who has never even had candy corn before and will eat any candy, and he had like two of them, and he was like, I know like this.
What's the rule of your house, Omar? Because what is it? Is it a grab one of each? Is it grab one thing? Is it take two?
So it fluctuates. It all depends on, you know, you're right. If it's later in the evening and I have a ton of left, then I'm going to go two or three. But at the very beginning, you know, I do the thing where I set a table out there and I write a little sign, please take one.
No,
and most of the time, dude, they just grab the entire bucket and it's gone within like an hour. But then I have to come back and replenish that. And then, you know, after my kids are done trick-or-treating, they kind of like, you know, give out the candy. And they are pretty, you know, they give out like two or three per trick-or-treater.
I love when a kid goes by one of those bowls with the please take one sign and they go, they yell back to their friends, whatever we want. It's as much as we want. Like the sign means, like, I can't think of a sign that has less value in the entire world than the please take one sign.
Yeah.
By a giant bowl of candy.
Like I have a Ring camera right there, so I get to see them just like jacking all the candy. It's pretty funny.
Right. Yeah, that
would be a great compilation to put together.
Now,
all the Ring footage of everyone stealing the candy.
The please take ones.
Yes.
And like maybe there's one kid in the history of Halloween that like actually played by the rules where everyone else is like, oh, this is... It's probably like
how long does it take? You can bet.
That's probably a lot of kids' first crime is the please take one violation.
Yeah, but it's great because even though you're being surveilled most of the time, they don't care. They're just going to take what they want.
Yeah, I feel like Halloween was like, it was... almost like the purge where you get away with anything.
Yes, it does feel like because the rules of what you've been told your entire life, no candy from strangers, you're not eating, you know, nonstop candy, you don't go to strangers' house, all of that goes away for that night. You can go out at night, you're running around at dark. So at what point do you start going like, I guess this rule I actually have to listen to? I just am curious as to the people that, I agree, there are the people that will grab the handful and put it in for you. And then there's the people that will say to you straight up, you know, take one of each. But Omar's right. Some of these kids just stand there looking for a half an hour.
Yeah, but when it comes to kids, they can choose all they want. But at the end of the day, they're going to eat what the candy is. You know what I mean? And if they're picking, I'm going to end up with a bunch of sweet tarts left over. You know what I mean? And then I'm the one who's left over with all this crap candy.
Why do you have sweet tarts? Have to...
Yeah, what are you,
what are you
that's,
doing?
That's my tarts? Other favorite.
Man, Allie's house.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Candy corn and sweethearts?
Man. Oh, I like sweet tarts.
This is an El Cheapo.
I like
this
the pink ones and the purple ones.
This is Allie's El Cheapo move. She buys six of each, and she knows at the end of the night she's still going to have six of each left. Because they're all going to go, moving on.
And then I'll eat one Smarties really slowly.
Let's all unionize and come up with some sort of a master plan so that we, because for whatever reason, it's chaos. We'll come back in a second. If you'd like to join us for a little round of Do You Know the Team on Your Shirt, chance for you to win. We have some jerseys here, actually. I think we have a sweet In-N-Out jersey that they gave us recently when they sent us all that stuff to thank us for the billboards we put up.
Oh, yeah.
This is your very own jersey. Nothing says California more than an In-N-Out jersey. And since we don't have any official Dodgers license merch to give you, we can give you that. If you'd like to play with us, we got Jake approached someone at the bar last night wearing a Dodgers shirt. We'll post their picture up on our Instagram at Klein Alley Show. Will they know anything about the team on their shirt? If you'd like to play, call now. 800-520-1067. That is next.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone's a Dodgers fan these days, unless, of course, you live in New York. And there's a lot of people walking around the streets of Southern California, understandably wearing Dodgers gear. So you would think they're a fan of the team, perhaps. Maybe they're just a fair weather fan of the team, perhaps. Jake was at a very crowded bar last night as the Dodgers won Game 3. And he went up to a few people that were wearing Dodgers gear and apparently watching the game and cheering. And he asked them some very basic questions about the Dodgers to see if they are real fans and, more importantly, do they know the team on their shirt?
And I would imagine, like, yes, I get there's bandwagon fans and everything, but I think that there are a lot of longtime Dodger fans that know a lot about the history of the team.
Absolutely, 100% there are. And they would give you stats and details, and you don't even want to get into a conversation with them because they will give you an entire Wikipedia about everything that ever happened and every player that ever mattered. And then there are, you know, a lot of the people that potentially transplants, they've kind of become a Dodgers fan by location, let's just say.
Johnny said that they're not real fans.
Those are not real fans. Johnny, in your definition to be a real fan of a Dodgers real fan, you must have been born here and have fandom in your lineage, is that correct?
Yeah, all I've ever known was Dodgers. Like, you were always a Dodgers fan, never an Angels fan, never anything else.
Right, so if you grew up, let's say, in Chicago, you were like, oh, I grew up a White Sox fan or a Cubs fan, and then you moved to L.A., and then you're like, oh, I kind of root for the Dodgers, now, not a fan. You cannot transfer fandom.
That's tough. I would say, you know what? Yeah, you could be a fan, but just like acknowledge and just know this is the last team you'll ever be.
You really broke down pretty quickly there. Jesus Christ.
This morning you were like, transplants are real fans, yeah. F you guys.
I mean, look at all the Silver Lake people and Highland Park hipsters. They're all quiet right now because they're not Dodger fans. They're not from here. They could give less of a damn.
But I asked one follow-up question, and you immediately completely abandoned your original argument, which is that you have to be born into it or you're not a true, true fan. I would argue quite the opposite, actually. If you were a fan of another team growing up because that's where you were from, and then you moved to L.A. by choice and adopted the team by choice and decided to pledge your loyalty to the Dodgers, I think in some ways...
Well, that doesn't speak much of your loyalty, then.
Well, it
yeah,
speaks...
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at right there.
Jake, but as opposed to being born into it, you didn't know anything else other than that. It's almost like a decision you didn't make. It's like, what's more important, your family or your friends? Your friends you choose to hang out with, your family you're born into. There's, you know, blood runs thick, whatever.
Wouldn't all of this apply to you?
Some of it would, sure.
Because you grew up on the East Coast, and you were a fan of East Coast teams, I imagine.
Well, no, I was a fan. I was a Lakers fan from birth. Always a Lakers fan.
Yeah, but what about baseball?
Orioles fan, because that's all I had.
And what, does that team even exist anymore?
Yes, they still exist. Thank you for asking.
I can't believe you do the sports on the station.
Yeah, that's right. We shouldn't do the sports on the station. We don't really do sports on the station. Let's get to it. This is Paula. We met Paula last night. And let's meet Paula before we get to guess a little bit about, will she know anything about the team on her shirt?
This is going to be hard for me. I hope it's something I know.
What's your name?
Paula Schmidt.
From where?
Burbank, California.
So it's Paula Schmidt from Burbank, California. You can see what she looks like up on our Instagram at Klein Alley Show. She is rocking some Dodgers merch, I guess is a good way to put it. She's Jake, she was really watching the game and cheering. She was very loud, you said, right?
This is, this is in the eighth inning, and she's out back having a cigarette.
And what was she wearing exactly?
She's got, like, these, like, blingy Dodgers DLA necklaces, a bunch of them.
Roman, we'll play the game with you. You got to predict 2 out of 3 correct answers. If you can do that, you win yourself a jersey. It's not a Dodgers jersey because we couldn't get our hands on real merch, but we have an In-N-Out jersey for you, which is almost just as good. So, Roman, here's what you got to do to play the game is let's meet Paula, learn a little bit about her, and then we'll get to the questions that matter. Here we go.
How long have you been a Dodgers fan?
Pretty much since I was 4 years old, coming here from Scotland.
So she moved here from Scotland, another country, since 4 years old. And she claims she's been a Dodgers fan since she was 4.
That counts.
That definitely counts.
I mean, what team are you a fan of in Scotland?
Nothing.
I'm going to ask you some questions about the Dodgers and see if we can get them right, okay?
Okay.
Besides Dodger Stadium, what's the name for where the Dodgers play?
All right, this is a practice one. Does not count for you or against you, Roman. Okay. Do you think if she's been a Dodgers fan since she was 4 years old, she will be able to give us... I assume we're looking for Chavez Ravine, probably, but do you think she'll be able to give us that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, you do. Let's find out. That is question number one. Other than Dodger Stadium, what else would you say what would you call where the Dodgers play?
What? Where they play? They play all over places.
But like their home based? Field. Their home field.
New York.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay. That was a practice one, Roman, so that will not count against you, but that gives you a sense of this fan since she was 4 years old.
Okay, but maybe she's talking about when they were the Brooklyn Dodgers, like that was their original home.
Perhaps that's what she was saying.
When you're drunk and smoking, you can't, always hear the questions correctly.
Here we go. This is, once again, a Dodgers fan since 4 years old.
Can you name the legendary announcer who called Dodger games for over 50 years?
All right. Can she name the legend? This is your first real question that matters. Can she name the legendary Dodgers announcer that called games for 50 years?
I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and say yes.
All right, you say she can do that. Do we need full name, just last name? What are we looking for? Do we need full name for it to count?
You should know the full name.
I agree. I think she should know. It's got to be Vin Scully, right?
It's a very easy...
All right.
I feel like the first and last name just go together.
All right, so we're looking for full name, Roman. You got it? So you want to go, she will know this?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, this is your first one that counts for you or against you. Will she know the team on her shirt? Here we go.
Can you name the legendary announcer who called Dodger games for over 50 years?
Scully.
Sorry?
Scully.
You know his first name?
F*** you. No, Scully.
Oh, wow.
Y'all know the last names.
Who was the Dodgers manager?
Chuck.
She believes that his name was Chuck
Scully.
Chuck Scully. That is not a good start for you. You got that one wrong, which means you have to get the next two right or your game comes to an end and we have to give your In-N-Out jersey to someone else. So she did not give us Vin Scully. She gave us Chuck Scully. And here is the next question for this supposed Dodgers fan.
Who is the Dodgers manager?
Chuck Scully, right? Dodger manager when?
Now, currently.
All right. Will she know the current manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no.
You've lost all confidence in this woman, haven't you?
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart. It's not her fault. She grew up in Scotland. But since 4 years old, Allie, she's been here. You claim that she will not know the current manager, Dave Roberts, of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Let's find out.
Now, currently.
She gave herself
That's a great answer.
The buzzer. All right, she didn't get that one, so now you've evened it out. She got...
what's the manager's name?
Both wrong, Dave Roberts. She got, by the way, just so you know, congratulations, you have now evened it out. So all you need to do is get one more prediction correct, and you win. And this is the next question.
Can you name the legendary LA basketball player that's part owner of the Dodgers?
Jeez.
Okay.
I feel like we're getting into the weeds here, no?
This is pretty common. This is a big...
You can see him on TV almost every day.
Yeah, they show Magic all the time, and he's very vocal. I would be surprised. Well, she hasn't gotten anything right so far. I don't want to sway you, Roman. Will she be able to tell us Magic Johnson? That's the name we're looking for.
I don't think so.
All right, it all comes down to this. He says she will not be able to give us Magic Johnson. Let's find out.
Can you name the legendary LA basketball player that's part owner of the Dodgers?
Magic Johnson.
Oh, fantastic.
That's a f***ing easy one. A kindergartner can f***ing answer that.
So you're smarter than your fifth grader.
I hope so. Or a kindergartner.
Fantastic. Thank you so
much. Did I do good?
You did great.
Yeah. Did I do good?
I don't know if I would say she did great. Well, oh, Roman, man. You played the game. Unfortunately, you lost.
Aww.
So we got to give that jersey to someone else. Caller 20. Consider yourselves lucky right now at 800-520-1067 because that woman, even though she claims a fan since 4, Allie, did not do very well.
Did I?
Yeah.
Did I really?
No. You did great.
He's trying to help you.
Was it Chuck Scully?
She's still concerned. What a way to end it. All right. Chuck Scully. There you have it. Thanks, Jerk. That'll do it for us. Let's get out of here. Make way for Nicole Alvarez. 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. 90s at noon. And who knows who stops by with Nicole. Be Real was here the other day. You never know.
I know.
It's unexpected,
90s at noon.
Unexpected surprises.
So cool.
Keep it on K-Rock. And I think tomorrow. Is tomorrow the day? Vanessa, when's that big announcement we have? Is that tomorrow?
Actually, that big announcement is going to happen with Nicole.
Oh, big announcement with Nicole today?
Ooh, yes.
Okay, big announcement with Nicole today around 10 o'clock. And then tomorrow we will be able to help pay off that announcement. So just keep listening and follow along on the socials so you don't miss out on anything. And that is at Klein Alley Show. All right, takeaways from today's show. What do we got?
818, my takeaway is listen to the Klein Alley Show for your chance to win Ricky Gervais tickets.
Ricky Gervais, more of those tickets tomorrow, right, Vanessa?
That's right.
310, my takeaway is when discussing Halloween candy, just double fist it.
Got a double fist. Everyone loves a good double fist.
310, my takeaway is if you want to get a home run ball, take your kid and just shove him to the ground. Works.
That's right.
213, my takeaway is a Cliff Bar and Chomps is not food.
God, I'm so hungry. I'm so
You've almost made it.
I got to give blood after the show. I haven't been able to eat all morning. I haven't eaten since 8 o'clock last night.
Oh, no.
I mean, I am.
I feel so bad for you. I feel hangry for you.
I keep licking my finger, which I know is turning Allie on. But other than that, it's not really.
Look at me when you do it.
It's not satiating me at all.
951, my takeaway is David is a grower and not a shower. And 626, my takeaway is keep an eye out for Malia Cohen. K-O-C-O-H-E-N.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like that lottery winner. I mean, we talked to a guy that's about to be $44 million richer on today's show, although he can't get paid. And people, for some reason, turned on that guy real quick. Said he had a big attitude. What's your takeaway from today's show, Jake the Nerd?
I'm from New York!
That's a good takeaway. That's a great takeaway. I know what you're doing.
I am the ghost of Babe Ruth. I got a honey redonics. Brother, I'm from New York.
That's Fat Joe.
Big, I'm from New York. We from the home of a terrorist. Yes, I'm from New York.
It's a great soundtrack for how that World Series has gone for them.
Screaming.
So all right, well, there you have it. That's a good takeaway. Omar, you got a takeaway?
My takeaway is that the Grateful Head was the original name of the Grateful Dead.
Yeah, Allie's mom. She inspired that band in many, 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 many ways.
She has many gropies.
Allie, takeaway?
My takeaway is if you cheat on your boyfriend, don't get in a lift afterwards.
Yeah, that's the last thing you want. Thanks for everyone for interacting on today's show. We'll do it again tomorrow. Try to do it better. In the meantime, Omar, take us out.
They feel that